Okay, welcome back to the basement, guys. It has been a full week since we last spoke. Hope everybody had a restful reading week. I am back here with
Leah,
it's Bree,
Zelina,
it's Liz,
it's Cecilia,
Michael,
and of course your girl T. So today we have a good set of topics to talk about, and we'll just start it off, since we haven't spoken in about a week, about how was everybody's reading week? How was your reading week, Aaliyah?
Loki, I'm still on reading week, so it's been extended. It was chill. I spent the first part of it, like, you know, not really doing much. And that's why I had to grind the second part, because I slept a whole bunch. It was too short. We're scammed every year. Giving us a reading week with Thanksgiving included is not a reading week.
Two separate ones. Not.
But, you know, it was cool. It was chill. How was your reading week?
And what about you, Delina?
Yeah, I didn't really do much. I think this was probably the least eventful reading week I've had. Because usually it's, like, me coming home from Waterloo and, like, catching up with friends that are, like, in Toronto. But, yeah, I didn't really do much. On top of that, I don't know, like, the week after reading week is always intense, like, when it comes to school. So I had to kind of, like, get ready for that. So, yeah, this was probably, like, the most uneventful reading week.
Yeah, honestly, I agree. Like, I set out to do, like, a bunch of tasks, a bunch of schoolwork, and it, like, came to the last day, and I was like, honestly, didn't do anything, and I'm not even feeling a type of way. It is what it is, and what am I going to do going forth to fix my situation I'm currently dug myself into? But what can you do?
Mental health.
Yeah, it truly is all about that. Liz, did you get up to anything?
Oh my God, I tried, but everything was closed. Like, I remember I was trying to go to D-Spot. I heard their dessert is really good. And I drove all the way there thinking that they would be open somehow because they didn't update their website. So yeah, but I was binge watching my cousin's and my friend's series on Netflix. So they were both in this new show called Grand Army. You guys should
definitely. Oh, I feel like I saw, like, a preview for that. It just came out, right?
A bunch of my friends are in that show too, because, like, they dance, they're like dancers in it.
Okay, I'll check it out. Brianna, did you do anything?
I actually feel like my reading week was pretty productive. It's like the only reading week where I studied every single day for at least 2 hours, and yeah, I got a lot of things done. But then again, like, coming back, it didn't feel like I had a break because I was literally studying all week, so it felt like not long enough. But I'm proud of myself, because usually I just, like, watch shows all week and then I'm like, oh, I have so many readings. How did that happen?
But good for you, you know, actually getting work done and being productive. Cecilia?
I feel like this whole week was super busy for me. As soon as I came home from Thanksgiving, like, my house was put up, it was sold, like, it was just nonstop. So it's like, I did all my readings last minute, of course. And then sometimes I forgot about some readings. So yeah, it was just super busy.
Okay, that's crazy. So you're at home right now, or are you back in res?
I'm still at home right now. I go back Sunday.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
And what about you, Michael? Anything special?
Since it was, like, Thanksgiving, like, me and my other brother decided to go get haircuts. So I went to haircut. It's like called Onyx, and, like, in downtown. Like, it's actually pretty nice. But, like, the cut that I got, like, made my head look super long. Like, I was like, well, my head's not this long, so I decided just to get, like, I went back to, like, my other barber that's in, like, Brampton. And, like, I was just like, yeah, like, I'm just gonna get, like, a one. So I got a one, and then now I'm waving. But besides that, like, I got, like, my equipment for like my like home studio that's in my basement, and I gotta set it up and stuff. And then had some like indoor shoots like last week and like actually yesterday too, but that's what I've been doing after reading week. Not much assignments, just like other stuff besides school. But yeah.
That's actually really cool. Yeah, I feel like there's been a balance of like being productive, being a little lazy within the group, but I think it's both like necessary. Like you need that time to like do nothing, but also you do need that time to be a little productive, a little proactive, but you know, it is what it is. But I'm glad you guys all enjoyed it for the most part. Just that stuff wasn't really open, but other than that, anyways, so let's move on to our first topic of the day, which is, well, Liz brought this one up as well, because it was like a bunch of people talking on Twitter that they want a Birkin, and mm-hmm. I just want to talk about like maybe like relationship standards and like, I don't know, yeah, do you want a Birkin?
I feel like they're not that cute to me. Is it just me? Am I not seeing the hype? I've heard that they have like a large amount of value. Like I'm even looking at the Shade Room because they're posting about it. And I'm looking at one is $9,000 to $400,000.
You know, that is insane.
$400,000? Come on. What can you get with that?
Just expensive and ugly. That much money to hold your $5.
You know what I'm saying? Okay, it can hold more than $5, Aaliyah. You're gasping.
But it's pitch.
No, but I'm talking about the people asking on Twitter who want a Birkin.
Yeah.
And it's Have you seen, like, the Burger King one where it's, like, they just cut it off so it's, like, a Birkin? I would want that bag, honestly. Yeah. It's cute.
Nah, I just feel like what's really funny about that whole thing is it just really speaks, I feel like, I'm not even bashing anybody, but I just think it speaks to, like, the materialism of our, like, generation. Like, you know, for someone to prove their love to you, you know, you have to do that in, you see, buying me the latest this, the latest that. And I think it's so funny when people are like, okay, like, you know how there was the whole PS5 thing?
Yeah.
How girls were like, I'm not gonna buy this guy a Birkin. He's a broke, I'm not a Birkin, a PS5. He's a broke boy if he's asking for, you know, a PS5. But you wanna ask for a Birkin, like, make it make sense. I don't know.
What do you guys think? I feel like overly, especially now, like, spending that much money isn't worth it. Like, just in my opinion, I don't think at any point in my life spending that much money on a bag would be worth it. Like, even if I just won the lotto, like, that isn't going towards a bag. They'll probably get like property or something, like something that will, you know, be investments, help me make more money. I don't know. I feel like at this point in our life, we should just be like saving all that we have, you know, small splurges every now and then, but for the most part, just saving. I don't know though. I'm honestly,
I don't see the point and begging for a Birkin for it to hold my Presto card and my debit card that's like in the negative.
A lie. You need to have
Birkin making sense. Exactly. Like, I feel like it goes with a certain lifestyle. Like, I can't be like struggling, but I bought a Birkin and it's like now I'm struggling even more.
Yeah.
Pay your although have a little cute bag for your to hold your money while you save for your paying off your student loans. You'll be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I think my bag was like $5 and it does the job. Honestly, very nicely. I have like this pouch here that I put my mask in, and then I have this pouch here for like everything else. And it was only $5. I don't know. Priorities, I guess. Would you guys buy a bag? Like, say you had that much money, like what would you be spending it on?
Property,
yeah, a condo, down payment on a house.
I think I would be one of those cheap rich people who's like, I'm still couponing even though I'm making like eight figures because I want to save. But my house, my car, and maybe vacations are stuff I spend money on. Everything else,
yeah.
So, like, what materialistic thing would you guys splurge on? Like, if there's one thing that you guys wouldn't mind dropping a lot of money on?
A house.
Not like anything investment though. Like something like kind of like materialistic. Is there anything that you just would get?
Oh my god, hair. listen. I don't know if you guys know Arrogant Tay. Arrogant Tay would be slaying my hair, my lace front every week. I'm telling you. Every week, new wig. Like, I'm telling you guys.
Yeah, I feel like that's me with nails. Like my nails are always done, so I feel like even now, like I have like one chip and I'm like I need to get them redone, but yeah, it's something that like I just need to have done all the time, so I feel like that would be where my money went to. I'm not really into like bags or shoes or
That's what I'm thinking too. I would say if I get that much money, maybe a Tesla. I'd get a Tesla. Upgrade my car. But yeah, I'm not really, there's nothing like I really really want, you know.
I would say my hair.
Yeah,
I drop too much money on my hair like each week just to like keep up, because it's natural, so it's, oh my god, I'm so sorry, my dog, it's natural, so it's a lot of upkeep and maintenance.
Yeah, for sure.
But I feel like if I was like rich, I would just develop like something that I want to start like buying. Like, I'm not even a sneakerhead, but I'd be like, oh, give me all the shoes all of a sudden just because I have money. Like, I'd be like, I want a 4-car garage. All the cars are mine.
Yeah,
that's so true. I feel like we're so quick to say we're gonna buy property, we're gonna buy this. But if you have the money, you're living a certain lifestyle. You're surrounded with people like. The people who just live that lifestyle as well, they're buying nice bags. You're going to buy a nice bag. Like, that's just the way it is. I think that just comes with that status.
I feel like I'm not at that level yet, so I wouldn't even, like, I don't even know.
Exactly. Like, you have no idea what you would possibly do. Like, and especially, like, you'll be in a whole new, like, environment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know if you guys have seen the movie The Joneses, but basically, like, they're, like, this set-up fake family that's, like, they created this fake family to like encourage other rich people to keep spending money. So they put them in like different rich neighborhoods. They have the best cars, the best TVs, the biggest pool. And then rich people in their like same neighborhood continue to go and like buy more cars, like update their houses, get bigger pools. And then it's just literally feeding into people just consuming and consuming.
Yeah.
The whole time this
family isn't. Wait, is this a show?
Safe. It's a movie.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's actually interesting.
Mm-hmm. And it's like whole time like this family isn't real, these people are just getting paid to like pose in these nice houses, and it's like that's really what it does to people. Like, your neighbors, they got a better car, now you want a better car.
That's, you know? Literally what social media is though.
Yeah,
it's just like people posing up for things that they get paid for, and you're thinking, oh my god, they have so many things. Like all these like teenagers in the hype house that got rich off of TikTok posing up with all their stuff, and you're like, oh my god, they're young, they have money, I want that too. So now you're dropping all this money on stuff that they got they got like $400,000 for that one post.
I know, I'm like, I wish I was on that level. Like, I wish I could just like post a selfie and people would pay me, but like, I don't know how to get to that level either, you know? Like, what do I have to change about myself to like level up?
But I feel like it's just luck. Like, they just get lucky. They just
happen to,
like, pop up.
It's the algorithm.
I feel like that, too, but I feel like you don't also, like, take into account a lot of the work that these people have put in. Like, if you're doing content creation, or if you're doing YouTube, if you're doing music, like, a lot of that is consistency. It didn't just happen overnight. And there was a lot of, like, trial and error. It was a lot of people not even sharing your videos or, like, posting about you before you hit. Like, obviously, some people who are on TikTok, they already had parents who had money. So maybe it was easier with the whole like production process and whatnot, but I guess we don't know.
Some of the TikTok dances, like I watch it, I'm like, why? Why are they so literally like
the most basic moves too? Like,
yeah, the driest of flavors. I just don't understand.
Anyways. But I feel like even with that, it's like, there's also that point of, like, being rich where you're just getting stuff for free anyways as well. Mm-hmm. I feel like, as much as, like, you know, I don't be supporting Fashion Nova like that anymore, if Fashion Nova is sending me bare clothes for free and, like, my entire closet is full, I don't need to spend money on clothes.
Yeah.
Like, so, like, there's so many people who have, like, sponsorships and, like, affiliate links, and it's, like, you're just being sent stuff, so it's, like, if I don't have to buy clothes, I'll spend my money elsewhere.
Yeah, wait, Michael, you had something to say?
Yeah, I was kind of like drawing to a conclusion where it's just like, I feel like when it comes to like humans, like we always want more. Like no matter what it is, like even if like, oh, like let's say that like, you know, like I just got like a pair of Red Fours. Oh, I want Travis Scott's. Oh, I want something else. I feel like you always want what you don't have. Even if like I get to that point where it's just like, you know, like I have a Ford car garage. I have a nice Beamer, man. You know what I'm saying? I always gonna want the next like level. I feel like we're just never content. I feel like that's how humans are. Like you always want more. But, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like there was like,
it's almost like a cycle, like.
Yeah, I feel like this was like a theorist that's something about this. Like it's like you would want something as soon as you obtain that one thing, you move on to the next. Like it doesn't, exactly. You're not satisfied in that spot. You're like, okay, I want this now. I guess. Yeah. Very true points. Okay. I guess like we can move on to the next topic, which is a little more serious and like an ongoing situation that definitely needs like this platform to be talked about. And that's the situation with SARS right now. And everybody seems to be quick to call out the states and what's going on there. But when these issues appear overseas, I feel like people think they're like disassociated or like disconnected with it and shouldn't be speaking on it, when clearly this is a priority and an issue that affects so many people. So yeah, I just want to open up the conversation to that. If anybody wants to speak, go ahead.
I feel like because when it first came out, it was the Tuesday, right? It was Tuesday where like it kind of broke out, and it's like I wasn't aware of it because I was off my phone for most of the day, but then I like went onto my phone the next day and like every single post I saw was like people talking about it. But it's like people talk about it, but then they don't share anywhere that you can make a change, right? Where it's like I was on like a feminist page where it's like they were talking about it and they broke it down where it's like this is what's happening right now, this is the injustice, but then they didn't give a website to either learn more information or to sign a petition. I didn't see, like, my first petition I saw was legit 24 hours after that. And I'm like, this should have been coming and going. People post it because it's like a trend to them. So they'll post about it until it's not postable anymore. But I feel like what's happening is kind of just, it's a progress. And I feel like people don't really care because it's not, you know, as out there as America is with the news and everything.
I think, like, also to a certain degree, as much as it's no excuse, really, like, people feel like they can't help in the same ways. So, like, they're just big on, like, I'm the only thing I can do is spread awareness. So people kind of just, like, stick to that and, like, keep it moving. So they're like, oh, I shared it. It's enough. Like, hopefully people will see it. Hopefully someone who, like, actually thinks they can do something will do something. But it's also, like, I feel like in general, like, as North Americans, we don't really pay all that much attention to the global south. Like, there's, like, different civil wars going on in different countries and we're just like, that's what's happening over there. And I think it's weird because like internationally, like this summer, so many different countries throughout the diaspora were standing up for like, you know, Black Lives Matter, like specifically America's issues. And then the same Americans who were like, you know, everybody needs to be involved, all Black people all the time, have little to nothing to say when it's other Black people. And I think that happens in like different parts of the world, and it's extremely problematic because it's like, especially like I saw this one tweet a couple maybe last week that somebody was talking about, there's a lot of like African-American influencers who love to claim like Nigeria and Ghana and Cameroon all over their social media and dress up in all their, you know, cultural clothing and like, oh, I'm not just Black American, I have roots in Nigeria and love to claim Africa, but then when it comes to actually claiming Africa
and showing support,
dealing with problems, showing support, you know, they're real quiet. So I think a lot of people have been upset over the fact that it's like, if you're so into making, you know, Africanness your aesthetic, and oh, that's such a big part of me that I love to embrace, like you need to embrace it in other moments as well, you need to support in other moments as well. So I think I think it's just also a matter of, like, we're so involved in our own stuff that we kind of refuse to pay attention to anything else. And, yeah.
I think another, I don't know if people will agree, but, like, I feel like one of the reasons why maybe this issue wasn't as highlighted or talked about by, like, other Black people is because if you look at, like, the George Floyds or, like, the cases like Breonna Taylor, it's easily, like, you can easier, like, identify racism because it's, like, a white person doing it to Black people. Whereas if it's, like, Black people being racist to their, not being racist, but, like, putting other Black people in a position where it's unjust or they're just doing unimaginable acts, people won't really call that out because it's like, it's your own race type of thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're so used to saying a white person is doing this to us and we won't really, I don't know if you guys understand what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, like it's easy to put blame. Yeah, like it's easier to put blame on a white man or like on a white person than it is to put blame on someone that's like, that looks like you.
Definitely. Exactly.
I think it also has to do with just the fact, like in these instances, say like how you said George Floyd and Breonna Taylor, it's more of like an individualistic act and like people are so, like you can easily get mad at something that you've watched like and seen and like a person inflicting pain on another. But like when it's like a government or like a higher power, people just feel like, oh well, what is there that I can do that will really actually like change something about like the unjust acts that are going on in, like that country. So I don't know, I feel like people just think that they don't have as much reach as they do. And I think a good point Cecilia mentioned was like that literally no one's everyone's posting. I've been seeing what's going on in Nigeria and that's all anyone posts, but nothing about sign this petition, where to donate. Like those things are so important because then you're just throwing your money to an organization that's capitalizing off of a movement that's going on in there. That's like, okay, I'm just gonna pocket this money because people are donating to this cause and they don't know what's going on. But yeah, like it's just so important to stay informed. But I feel like our generation just likes to like throw out these like big blanket statements and be like, okay, I did my part, I shared, but not like the real important, you know, like matters of like the issue and like where to actually donate, how to support, and like what to do to educate yourself
on the matter. And I feel like that's very true. Like I feel like similarly to the Black Lives Matter movement, when that's like, I'm gonna say like June, when everything started blowing up, it was like so many posts. And I think it's also like important to see what you're posting, because a lot of the time, like I'm going on Twitter, I'm going on Instagram, I'm seeing like very graphic videos that is like, honestly, like it's very traumatic for people to view these. And like, I feel like if you're gonna be post, make it informative so that people actually can educate themselves and see like what's actually going on. And like you said, provide them with next steps on what you can do, because we do have the numbers, we do have a voice, and like it's just like how we use it and like how we try to steer the conversation to do better and make better, you know. Well, that's just my point on that.
And like even with that, I think people see it as like a very isolated incident. Like I feel like when, like how Liz was talking about, like how it's easy to put standards of like, oh, this white person's being racist. I feel like internationally we can be like, oh, white people everywhere are the problem. Whereas when it's like a certain country's government or, you know, certain officials in another country, we're like, oh, that seems to be their problem. You know, the corruption is happening over there. Like, what are we supposed to do? If it's their government, clearly they have some kind of authority, like that's not our business. And then also like, we just kind of like what Brianna was saying, like we just kind of jump to like, oh, we'll just throw money at these big corporations. And it's like, what is the UN really doing? You know, what is Red Cross really doing? Because half the time when these incidents happen, it's like, then all of a sudden, like 3 months later, you see like, don't donate to Red Cross, because none of the money is actually going to these people. And it's like, think of how many people thought they were doing something because they didn't really take the time to like read into the situation. And they were like, yeah, I'll just say, like, I'll throw money here to say that I did. And even not even just saying that you did, but it's thinking that you did something because you didn't take the time to you know, actually think about it. And I think that matters more when it's a problem somewhere else, because I think with the States, it's a lot closer to home. So in a sense, it's kind of easier for us to understand, because although it is, in a sense, like an authority institution, being the police or just like, you know, everyday white people, that's something that we can kind of understand over here. But when we're thinking like our government isn't corrupt in the same way, or we don't deal with the same kinds of abuses of power, like if you're actually going to, because like honestly, it's not okay to just sit there, but I feel like in a sense there's sometimes better to sit there and like you don't know, like it's okay to admit you don't know what's going on and take your time rather than just doing a whole bunch to do it and then, you know, you end up doing the wrong thing, especially when it's something you're so unfamiliar with. So I think the whole awareness thing is great, and people, especially with like large platforms, for people who don't know, like it's great to spread awareness, but I think people are missing the portion of actually educating themselves. And also on the side of awareness, I think we need to stop looking up to celebrities in these moments when like, what are they going to do for us? Like they do have a lot of reach, but a lot of these celebrities are, you know, they also lack knowledge on the subject just like we do. So like they also have that awareness part, and maybe like, you know, as far as finances, but other side from that, like it's like, but people are so ready to be like, what does Beyonce have to say about SARS?
And it's like, yeah. I feel like there was a live recently, I think it was Sweetie's live, where she brought on like, and I think that's what celebrities should be doing in like this situation, is like bring someone, use your platform because you have like the viewers, you have like the following to do so, but bring someone who is educated and who is experiencing this to speak on, give your platform up basically for this individual to speak on what's going on. And I think that's like one thing that I appreciated with that live, is just like hearing the perspective of someone within, like who's living it right now, who's living it in Nigeria right now. But yeah,
I don't know, I feel like this may be a kind of controversial opinion of mine, but I feel like as Black North Americans, I'll just generalize that, it's easy to like pass on the responsibility of like educating ourselves and really becoming familiar with these like injustices overseas, because we're like, well, we're hired done by over here, so this is not really my job to deal with. And I feel like unless, like, I know a lot of people, like I'm friends with a lot of people that are from Africa and of African descent, and it's like that hits home for them. But for me, it's like I'm Caribbean, I'm Jamaican. So for me, it's like, okay, yeah, I see the posts and stuff, but am I really? Because for me, I don't know anyone or anything. So it's easier for me to say, you know, that's not really my issue because it doesn't hit home. And I feel like that's kind of what's happening. I've been seeing a lot of people, just like people in general, Black, white, you know, everywhere in between, posting, but not everyone actually, you know, informing, if that makes sense.
I feel like I have a friend, he's up here from Nigeria, and I was talking to, he asked me if I knew what was happening, and I like straight out bluntly told her, I'm like, I saw a few posts, I don't know enough about it to like be able to say anything. But for like him, like he's having a really hard time where it's like he hasn't seen his family in like almost like a whole year, and then he's supposed to go back soon, and his family's like, well, if this is still happening, like we don't want you to come back for your own safety. And it's like he's telling me all these things, and I'm like, in a way I'm feeling empathetic, because obviously like it's another person, it's you know, because I know like if that was happening in my situation, like with my family, like I would feel some kind of way. But there's a line where it's like, again, like I am Caribbean, so it's like I don't know what's happening, but then I do feel empathetic for those who are affected by it and those families. There's only a certain point where I don't know enough about it. So I told him, like, I don't really know a lot that's happening, especially because I feel like we haven't heard, I mean, personally, I haven't heard anybody who is from there come out and speak out yet. It's just all these posts from these big Instagram followings, and it's all these, but I haven't heard somebody full on come out and say how the conditions there are like.
You know what's kind of interesting, though? Like, not to put you guys on the spot, because, like, I'm in the exact same boat, but I just found it kind of interesting how when it's, like, the states and Black Lives Matter, where, like, you know, white people, there's no excuse to be uneducated, like, you know, gain knowledge, read about it, educate yourself. But then we're also the same people who are, like, I don't really know what's going on in Africa. I lack knowledge there. So I'm going to, you know, just kind of hold this corner and, you know.
Yeah, so that's exactly what I was saying. Like, that's exactly, like, what I was trying to say, in the sense that we're saying these things to white people, but, you know, when it comes to our own family, like, you know, our brothers and sisters, we're taking that, like, lack of knowledge and kind of just, like, throwing it to the side and being like, it's okay, because I have my own problems to deal with. When it's like, their problems are our problems too, you know? We all need to be cohesive and, like, on the same page about stuff like this, because then nothing will ever change. But yeah, no, I fully agree with you. And I'm not saying, like, I haven't been informed and I've just been like, okay, that's fine. Like, I am trying to, like, hear people's stories, like, watch videos of people's, like, firsthand experiences, because that's the only way that I will actually be able to, you know, comprehend what's going on. I feel like by doing that and, like, reading up on it and then going back and seeing which organizations are actually doing something to support, because I have that background knowledge. But yeah, I do agree. Like, as Black North Americans, Caribbeans, in general too, like, it's harder to have that connection, I feel like. And that's just my opinion, but yeah, I think you kind of, like, got what I was trying to say there.
I feel like, even as well, like, not only us, like, having different backgrounds, but, like, all of us being, like, kind of where we are as North Americans, like, kind of like Cecilia mentioned, like, we have a lot of, like, some of us have a lot of friends who are, like, international students. And I think we don't realize how much that impacts people, because we're just like, you know, our friends are here with us in Canada, you know, they're doing well, whatever. But it's like, a lot of people, to them, like, it's a lot closer to home than we realize. And, like, I didn't think of that until I realized, like some of my friends who are posting, I'm like, yeah, like, some of you aren't from here, or some of you, like, half your family is still over there. And I think because we're so detached, we kind of just, like, disregard that. And it's like, well, yeah, you're, like, you're here and you're safe. Like, you're so far removed from that. But I think, as much as they're advocating for these things, like, they might be posting things on social media, but, like, whatever's going on, like, in their homes, like, with their family, like, whoever they need to check on, like, who's back home, like, there's a sense of, like, understanding, like, how heavy that is for them, that I think a lot of people, because, like, a lot of my friends are even, like, not, like, super quiet about it, but, like, that's not something, like, we necessarily talk about as friends. Like, I'll see them post stuff, but it's, like, I think that's another part of it, that we realize, like, it's a lot closer than we think. And it's not to say, like, oh, like, now go check up on everybody, like, are you okay? Like, where they are, they're safe in a sense, but, like, I can see how this would be, like, extremely heavy and, like, super taxing to know, like, you might, like, Cecilia's friends, like, you might want to go home, but, like, you know, your family's, like, that's not safe for you. But, like, you're kind of in this, like, in limbo over what you can possibly do from here. So I think if it were to be, like, something in the Caribbean or a different African country that was closer to home for some of us, it would be easier to understand. But I just think, like, that shouldn't prevent us from trying to understand. Even for me, it's having those kinds of conversations, because we even spoke about having uncomfortable conversations with, like, our white friends or our non-Black friends. So, like, having those same kind of difficult conversations with, you know, our West African friends. Even like Tiana mentioned, when Saluti brought the West African artist on to her live to hear firsthand, like, because she knows, once she's not as educated, you know, she can't relate the same ways, but opening up the floor to those people and amplifying their voices. And it's not like every day, you know, speak to these people so they can teach you, like, do some stuff by yourself. But I think it's just a detachment that, like, a lot of people aren't able to associate themselves with the issue.
Yeah, I just feel like it's kind of interesting how people can't really be empathetic about it, just because, you know, I have like friends of different like cultural backgrounds or ethnic backgrounds, and there's been like some corruption that might have happened back home, or just really like hard situations. I know with like Sudan, things were going on like a while ago, and it's like, okay, so, you know, even though you're not necessarily from Nigeria and whatnot, it's like, you know, you kind of do know what it's like to have family back home when there's corruption going on and whatnot. And I just feel like, I don't know how you can dissociate yourself from this situation when you've kind of lived that in a different sense, but you've lived that like as well. So I just don't, I feel like it's like interesting how people really do think it's not my problem, so I don't need to worry about it or educate myself on it. But you know, you've been through situations like this before as well, so, because it does happen.
Yeah, no, and I feel like we should segue into the next one, because a lot of people are going through this and having like a tough time, I guess, coping with what's going on and like also handling like school and work. So I wanted to bring up to the table, like focusing on our mental health again, and just maybe sharing like some tips or like tricks that you guys use just to like get out of that negative mind space and maybe like, I don't know, help people out during this time, because it's honestly very traumatic for a lot of people.
So I have a good, just like, I don't know. I was thinking that I always check social media, and I need to stop doing that. So what I've done now is, I don't know if you guys do this, but I used to do this and it's really unhealthy. I used to check Instagram. It was the first thing I checked when I woke up in the morning. And so now I don't do that. I make sure I like get up, put my morning playlist on, because that like really helps me. And, you know, like get ready for the day. And then I also noticed what I was doing was like when I had a break or a break between studying, I was going on social media. And so now I like, also one, it's just really bad for my eyes, but two, you know, it's just heavy on your mental health. So yeah, I've been like not doing that in the days. Like I'll have like, say if I study for an hour, then I'll be like, okay, I'll go on my phone for like 5 minutes, but that's on my phone, like to reply to things and stuff. And maybe like check Instagram too. But I've been like reading or like cooking or working out in my breaks, going on walks, listening to podcasts and stuff that doesn't involve like just like infatuating myself with like other people's lives, because I feel like that's just a lot. It's heavy after a while.
I'm kind of doing the same thing where like right now, I mean, it's kind of hard because gyms are slowly closing and I feel like it's definitely a hot spot, but like for me, I haven't gone to the gym in so long, but even like the outside workouts, it's getting cold, which I understand, but usually like I go for a run like first thing in the morning, and then because I live on dorms, so like my res is a little far, so like I'll go for a run, and then to like finish my run, I go get like my breakfast, I go back to my dorm to kind of like start the day, and then I usually work out. I mean, it's getting really cold, so I haven't been running, so I do like mini workouts in my room to kind of like, you know, get some stress off. But definitely I can't wait to get back in the gyms, maybe soon, hopefully.
Yeah, so I'm like, I feel like I can just admit, like, I'm really bad at handling stress. I think a lot of my stress definitely comes like from school. It's all school related. I don't necessarily have a great way of dealing with it. I have this issue where like when I do something, like let's say I get a really bad grade back, I start thinking, okay, so you did badly on this, so there's no way to get it up and you're not getting into grad school. And I feel like I fall into this all the time. So I think what I'm trying to do now to kind of work on that is to start like, I guess, removing pressure from anything really. I feel like I put a lot of pressure on myself to reach a certain point instead of just kind of going at it day by day. So that's kind of what I'm working on now. I don't think I have it fully figured out, but I know that it needs to get better, because like, especially because I'm in my fourth year right now and I'm really trying to get the hang of everything, trying to get to the bottom of things, really do well, like excel and whatnot. So I don't know if I can really speak on how to handle mental health that great at the moment, but I just, what I'm trying to do right now is definitely plan ahead, start taking off that pressure, and start spending more time like on myself as well.
Yeah, just like one of the ways that I feel that I know that I get kind of get away with stress is that obviously like I work out, not obviously I work out, what's that? I work out a lot. Like literally every day, but like when I'm stressed, I literally just have to zone out and like just listen to music because I feel like that gets me in like the right like mindset instead of like looking at my phone and stuff. Because like when I'm on my phone, like I get like alerts from like school or like other people to do like work and stuff like that. So definitely feel like music is a good option, but I also feel like working on yourself or doing things that like keep your hands busy is a good thing. Like do art, do things that like you enjoy doing instead of like doing schoolwork or doing things that like you do put pressure on yourself to do like well on. So
I feel like kind of like Brianna mentioned, like breaks are really important. Like I think it's crazy that like, we've come to a point where we roll over in the morning and check social media, which is like incredibly unhealthy. Also, I think when like we take breaks, like something I started doing recently, because like I find that I like tend to think of like a million things at one time. So like I'll have Netflix on, but like my learning space will still be open and I'll be reviewing like whatever assignment. And I think when you're taking breaks to like totally take yourself out of the situation, like I understand that sometimes like I'll be taking a break and then an idea for an assignment will pop into my head, you know, I'll quickly write it down on my phone. But when your break is still kind of work, it's not really a break. Then when you go back to doing work, you're like, oh, I'm still exhausted or oh, I'm still stressed or whatever it is. But like on the topic of like social media breaks, I think to a certain extent, like there's something that we have to be like really grateful about for the fact that we can just take a break from stuff. Like, you know what I mean? Like this is getting too much. We're seeing this a lot. Let me turn off my phone or let me come off of Twitter or let me log out of Instagram, whatever it is. So I think that's something, and even like when you're on like those social media apps, to completely like come off them. Like I know sometimes I'll be like, oh, you know, they're sharing a lot of stuff on Twitter. It's a lot on my mental health. But then I think I'll just find funny tweets and it's like, it's all still my same feed. It's gonna show up some way, somehow. So like even if it's like, you know, you go take a long shower, play your music, you know, whatever it is, go meditate, go do something completely, take yourself out of the situation. Make sure that you're like focused on your break. Because I know sometimes my focus is in like a thousand different areas and I'm trying to watch whatever show it is on Netflix, but I'm like, oh, but for my conclusion, I could throw this in and I have to make sure I'm at my like 2,000 words. And it's just, then you're not doing anything productive. You're thinking of like five things at the same time and none of them are getting done. And like that's something I have a huge issue with. Like I'll be like, I have all these ideas for all these assignments and all these things and I'm stressed and none of them get done. So I think, you know, break, just do something you love, you know, watch something you like, something that'll really take up your attention. Like for example, like you guys mentioned, going on runs, like kind of hard to set your phone when you're on a run, you know. So something that completely takes you away from everything is really important. Also just in that time though, also learning how to manage stress is important. Like kind of like Delina mentioned, like we're not all the best at it. And like, yes, breaks are important, but also figuring out like when that break is done, how are you going to get things done? So I think that's a really important part that I think we sometimes forget about because we realize that like a total break is important. But I think we need to all find great ways to manage stress, even though it's like you can't live a stress-free life, honestly. It's borderline impossible. There's always going to be stressors, but how to handle them is, you know, how we involve ourselves. Like, it's completely in our control. So, to control the things that you can control, the best for you.
Yeah. Liz, do you have any tips or tricks?
I feel like for school, maybe finding stress relief, like, I guess complete everything you can within the day. Like, I don't know if I was reading like, or I was watching this documentary about like people who are successful like the Bill Gates of this world, they do work between like a 9 to a 5, right? So it's like they're not stressing themselves out beyond the time that they leave work. So I feel like if it's not finished by, I don't know, 7 and you've been working the whole day on it, don't stress yourself about it. Like, obviously it's important, but you also have to think about your mental health and everything like that. Like, obviously it's important to take a rest, which is why I feel like if I'm stressed out, I'll go for a walk or I'll cook or something like that. Like, don't put too much pressure on yourself, obviously. Like, give yourself time. But yeah.
Or even if it's like self-discipline. Like, I realized lately, like, I'm that person, even if I know I could finish an assignment way before, I still wait to the last day. Because I'm like, yeah, I have till 11:59 on Tuesday, when it's like, you could have been done Sunday night, but because you know you have till 11:59 on Tuesday, you're like, I'll leave the conclusion till then. Yeah. Then it's like 11:14, and you're still grammar checking and all kinds of stuff. And it's just a mess. I think self-discipline is like, you know, setting your own deadlines is really important. And then it's like, I think it just holds you more accountable, because it's like, if you're not done that Tuesday at 11:59, you're like, okay, well, the clock's going to take off 3%, whatever, whatever. Whereas I feel like when you're more focused on self-discipline, then it's between you and yourself and figuring that out. And like, even like recently, like I made a bedtime, like Liz said, like cutting your day off at a certain time, like stress is dead at 11:30. Don't ask, my living space is closed, I'm logged out, I will deal with the problems tomorrow. But I feel like that can only be done if you're actually getting work done. Like, there's some days when I'm like, I did nothing today, but my bedtime's still 11:30, good night. And it's like, what does that solve? But I feel like setting up your day with a routine, even though, because we're missing that fact that we don't actually have to be in class, having a routine, like you wake up, you do schoolwork, you do stuff for yourself, you know, you have your break, you do schoolwork again, go to bed. Yeah. I think that's really helpful. Otherwise, you're just kind of in this place of like, I have so many things to do. How do I put them together throughout the day?
Yeah. Brie, go ahead.
I completely agree. And I was thinking, like, especially this year, that I've been the most productive when I have the least amount of time. Okay, that doesn't really make sense. But like, if you tell yourself you're going to wake up at 8:30, you're going to study for only like 2.5 hours, and then you're going to make your breakfast, and then you like plan out your day. When you have those like time intervals of, I have to do this during this amount of time, I feel like that time is so much more productive than if you just wake up with the blanket statement of, okay, I'm going to start this today. And then you get like halfway through it, and then it's like 11:30, and you're like, okay, well, I wanted to be in bed by now, and you know, I didn't complete what I wanted to do. But if you like specifically set out a time period, like, it's kind of like that you can't write a paper unless it's at the last minute type thing. Like, but if you always felt that kind of like anticipation to finish something in a certain amount of time, that time is just so much more productive, because you know you're gonna have a break, you know you're gonna do things for yourself in the day, and then like everything's kind of just flowing. Your day feels like a bunch of things rather than you sitting at your desk all day feeling sad.
Yeah, Michael, if you wanna follow that.
Like, I feel like with that though, like, life is so like unpredictable. Like, I feel like you can't like always like, obviously like, routine is definitely important to have like a system of like the way that you live your life. But I feel like, like, to hold tight and like kind of confined to like that like whole routine, it's like, it's almost like not counterproductive. Like, it's almost like you don't know what's gonna happen, especially since like we're all home. I feel like with me, like, I'd be like, okay, fat, like, I'm gonna work out 7:30, right? And then when 7:30 comes, oh, like, Michael, come do something for me. And it's like, you know, like, you get like lost in time because like you are like stuck doing something else. And I feel like that's where you need to like almost like give yourself like almost like, there's a type of like word for it, like a buffer, almost like for yourself to like kind of have, yeah, exactly, for yourself to be flexible. Yeah, you have to give yourself like time for you to like mess up or like not do things that you want to do. But yeah,
Yeah, I agree. I think with the system I have in place right now, I like break down my week tasks, like literally everything, like from work to school to my tasks with ABS, I break it down. And it just like visually makes it seem like a lot less than there is. Like I'm like, okay, on Monday I'm going to start writing my book review, and I'm gonna give myself into Friday to finish it, you know, so you have like a length to do it, so you're not like overwhelmed with the amount of work you have going for you. We'll go Aaliyah and then Delina. You're on mute, Aaliyah.
I think also just kind of what like Rihanna and Michael were saying, but I feel like at the same time, when you have a schedule or you have a routine, when something goes off track, it's like easier to just like, okay, let's put that in between A and B, rather than like, I have work to do, let me do it today. And then it's like three things go off track and you're like, I had no plan to begin with, what's gonna happen? And like, I completely understand that, because I'm like, I hate anything unpredictable, surprises, anything off a routine. Like I'm like a very like, for me to think functionally, things have to be incredibly structured. And I know what it's like when like something unexpected happens and I like lose my mind all of a sudden, you know? So I think, but once you have it, it's a lot easier to work with, rather than the times where like, I've been like, I have three assignments today, let's get at them. And then it's like, oh, but you also have this randomly. And then I'm like, I'm not doing anything. Like, I'm just so overwhelmed. Whereas when I'm like, you know, 8 to 10, I'm doing assignment one, then like a little break, then like 11 to whatever, then I'm like, okay, whatever this unexpected thing is, let me put that between 1 and 3. Because I think it all just depends on like whatever kind of person you are. Some people are like great at like multitasking or dealing with the unexpected, and that's great for them. I commend them. I wish that was something I could do. But when life is unexpected, it goes to shambles for me. So I know how important that is. So, yeah.
Wait, Delina, did you have something to add to that?
Yeah, so I was just going to say that. I feel like another really important thing is don't, like, because we're on the topic about, like, making routines and stuff, just don't really compare your routine to anyone else. Just kind of know that you're doing enough. I feel like, you know, I'll have like people who are so, I saw a TikTok with this girl and she's like, I don't understand how people can wake up at 7:30, go to the gym, journal, eat breakfast, study all day, have family game night, like all this other stuff. And it's like literally, it doesn't have people that don't do you. Work. So I think that's also really important. I felt like I used to compare myself. I thought I wasn't doing enough. Did I cut out?
Yeah, you cut out for a bit, but I feel like people got the gist. Like, don't compare, yeah. You know, got a heavy workload. Don't be comparing yourself, because honestly, that will bring you more stress. Like you were saying, you're feeling like you're not doing as much or like what you should be doing by comparing it to like someone else's schedule or habits throughout the day. But just know you're doing enough. You're doing what you gotta do. Aaliyah?
Also, just quickly to piggyback off of what Delina said, it's like your life is completely yours. You know what I mean? Like, comparison is, like people say, like comparison is the thief of joy. Like for me to be like, look at this person waking up at 6 a.m., like, you know, living their life, going on runs, they have great like stress relieving techniques, all that kind of stuff. But it's like, you have to think of all the different factors in your life that don't allow you to do the same thing, at least at this point, because you could get there at some point. But it's just to think, like, and also sometimes it's not necessary. Like, your workload might not even need you to wake up at 6 a.m. Like, 8:30 might be just fine for you. So then I think that's really important. And it's also the same thing that people do with social media and comparing themselves. So I think just overall, like, what I do won't have the same impact for you. What you do won't have the same impact for me. Things will never work for everybody. So I think that's really important. And even just setting a routine, that might not work for everybody as well. So I think it's just really tapping into yourself, finding what works for you, doing it, making sure you still get stuff done, and yeah, bettering you.
Yeah, I feel like overall we've got like a great set of like tips and tricks that we find work, and like I feel like you guys should listen and pick out what you think would work best for you. Moving forward, I completely forgot that, you know, Halloween is coming up, and I just want to know, like, what are your guys' plans? Do you have any costume ideas? I know that, like, still it's kind of, like, locked down, and everybody's unsure of what's happening, but I want to know your thoughts. Let's start with Michael.
So, like, Halloween falls, like, right before, like, my girlfriend's birthday, right? So, actually, yo, let me show you that I got it for her birthday. Hold on. So
fun.
I told you guys before, like, I'm, like, a very, like I'm, like, a sneakerhead, you know what I'm saying? I have, like, a lot of shoes. So, she likes ones, right? But she doesn't like high tops. She likes low tops. So, I got her these. Kind of match with, like, my breads, because I got fours. So, I got her these. Like, little, like, tiny shoes. I got them.
Okay, yeah. They look nice. They look good.
Thank you. Yeah, so, and then I'm probably going to, like, drop by, say hi, like, give her, like, a lot of, like, presents and stuff and, like, candy because she likes sweets. That's what I do for Halloween. I don't know about you guys.
That's really cute. You guys couldn't see it, but he was very excited. Like, the happiness on his face was just, like, radiating. That's really cute. I guess I'll go next. Halloween is also my birthday, so I'm just going to be doing that. I don't really have a plan, per se, but I'm dressing up as Lilith. So, yeah, that's that. Liz, do you want to go next? Do you have any plans or costume ideas for the listeners?
I think I was going to do, like, a paint and sip with my friends. I don't know. Did it cut out?
No, you're good.
Okay. So paint and sip. I just don't know whose house it's going to be at right now. It's probably going to be mine. But, yeah, that's the plan. Costume ideas? I don't know. What's something that you guys have done in the past that was, like, really good?
I did Lola Bunny 1 year. And I liked it, but I'm really bad when it comes to costume ideas. Like, I never know, and I don't want to be.
You're not. No,
yes, your costume is
cute. No, no, your costume last year was cute.
What was her costume?
What was that?
She was a brass doll.
Oh yeah, I totally forgot about that. Yeah, it was a Bratz doll. But then everyone hopped on the Bratz doll wave last minute, and then I just felt like basic again. Mm. But 1 year, I was hoping it'd be this year, but I guess not. I wanted to get, like, a full leather, like, with a zipper down the front, and just be Catwoman. Because I feel like it's so hard, like, with the whole, like, leather latex, like, thing. And you know, like,
the mask. Game over. Game over.
Yeah. And I feel like this is the 1 year when my body's actually right and locked down. But anyways, I'm not doing anything this year, so there's that.
Just do it still and post, like, a 1-2 Instagram picture.
Yeah.
And then maybe one of these little online sites will sponsor you. They'll be like, wow, she looks crazy. Let's give her a sponsorship.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are you still doing your costumes of the day or week? Your little dress up calendar?
I can't even lie, I am doing that. I just started with, like, the desire, because, like, growing up, I did not celebrate Halloween because, like, I don't know, my parents just weren't about it. And, like, it was also my birthday, so it was just, like, instead of Halloween, we'll do that. So this is just, like, catch up for all the years I missed. I've been dressing up every day. But, yeah, it's been kind of a mission.
Dress up as a Birkin bag.
Maybe I'll do it. Just for you, Liz.
No, dress up as Stormy with her Birkin bag on the first day of school. Homeschool. When I found out it was like first day of school, but she's being homeschooled, I actually laughed so hard.
As the most, the most extra.
The most extra thing I've ever seen in my life.
Wait.
I feel like for Halloween.
No, go ahead.
I feel like for Halloween, I wish I was a lot more creative because a lot of my costumes, I have done, I think, every single basic costume you could ever have. I was the angel. I was the devil. I was the schoolgirl. Like, I did all of those. And I feel like I, this year though, because like I don't really, because I know with like Halloween there's always that pressure, like for girls especially, like you need to be a little bit promiscuous, like it can't just be, you know, you pulling up in a onesie or anything like that, like guys usually do. So I feel like this year I can do something a little bit more creative, a little more comfortable. So I was thinking Cheetah Girls maybe, just because it's just like a nice like, what is it, it's just a tracksuit and then a headband and then you're good to go. So I was thinking maybe doing that.
Okay, I love comfort and costume mixed together in one. I think Michael has something to say, so you could go next.
Right. For costumes, like I know in the past, like a lot of guys just wear like football gear or basketball gear. But I remember when I was in grade 12, like 2 years ago, like I came like wearing like, if you guys know like Space Jam, like I was wearing the jersey and had like matching shorts and stuff like that. I feel like, I don't know, like I feel like different, like my high school guys aren't like crazy for Halloween, like they get like the whole thing, but like I don't know, I feel like I can't really do that this year because, you know, lockdown stuff like that. But yeah, that's what I would do, probably do the same thing again. I think
just reusing costumes, honestly. I find like if you can find something out of your closet already, that's just where I lie. Like I never like venture out and actually like purchase things, but if I can find it in my closet and make it work, at the end of the day, I'm good. Cecilia, do you have any plans or costume ideas?
Honestly, I don't know what's happening. I'm so uninvolved for Halloween. Like, throughout the years, I've never really taken it seriously. But we're doing, like, a group costume. We're all going as vampires, which is super basic. But, like, I put no effort into Halloween. So they're like, oh, we're doing vampires, do it with us. I'm like, okay. I'm like, I was going to show up in PJs and be like a slumber party or something. Like, so, but even like when we're doing the vampire, legit, the only thing that's vampire-y is like the teeth and the blood. And to like just find a pair of pants and find a cute top. And I'm like, okay. So.
Yeah. I don't know, but like when I dress up for Halloween, I always do crazy things with my makeup. So, like, you can be a vampire, but you can, like, do, like, a vampire bite thing. Like, you just
turn into a vampire. I can't do makeup to save my life.
You know, sorry, this is so off topic, but what shooketh me to the core, because someone posted this on Twitter, it was like, what do you think happens? When a vampire bites you, does it bite and then just, like, suck out the blood? Or are the teeth straws? So it just, like...
The teeth are straws.
So, like, it pierces and sucks? Yeah. Or is it a pierce and, like, they're just using them? I don't know why. No, because
you only get the two bites, right?
That's what I'm saying. But is it straws or they're, like, just puncturing it and then, you know, consume it?
Maybe. And then, like, shift. Actually, yeah, that makes sense. Like, if they puncture and then they're, like... It makes sense.
Yeah, I don't know why that had me, like, thinking about this for so long. But, like, I was on Twitter last night and I was, like... I really do not know the answer to this. But anyways.
I feel like.
Oh, wait. Continue. Sorry.
No, the last thing I was going to say was I feel like you know how Cecilia was saying, like, you don't really care for Halloween? I can definitely say I did not care for Halloween until I got to university. I think there's something about being in university. Like, everybody talks about it. It's kind of part of the culture. You have to dress up, you're about to go out. I do not miss standing in the lines, but I just feel like I know once I'm going to graduate, I don't think I'll ever celebrate Halloween again, to be honest, until I have kids. I just think it's something that kind of comes with being a student. So hopefully if COVID's over, I think you're definitely going to love Halloween for sure.
I just want the free candy. I'm not even going to lie. That's the only part why we dress up for Halloween, that free candy. Like, your parents always told you not to take candy from strangers, but once a year, you can just take anything from strangers.
Yeah, for real. Okay, yeah, honestly, I feel like that's all we have for this show today. So let's work on let's discuss our shout outs and track of the week, and we'll go in the same order of our introductions. So let's start with Aaliyah.
All right. What's song of the week? Song of the week. I'm gonna go with "Chocolate Pomegranate" by Ari Lennox because I absolutely love that woman and everything she does, and this song is just a bop. So yeah, that's my song. Shout out to Val because she's not here, but she's gonna be here next week. And yeah.
Okay, song of the week. Oh, I was listening to Ty Dolla $ign's new album, and I like the song Spicy off of it. I literally just heard it today, but it's good. And, okay, guys, I never have anyone to shout out. I'm just going to shout out everyone on the podcast / the radio show because, yeah. You guys are great.
Thank you.
Okay. I think my song of the week is definitely Persian Rugs, Party Next Door, just because he dropped Party Pack and that was good. And for my shout out, I think I'm going to shout out my friend Maya because I'm going to send this to her whenever it drops. So, and she's going to listen. So, yeah.
Liz,
I think my song of the week would have to be
say your track.
No, that's so lame to shout out your own music.
Okay, we'll do that and another song then.
I'm trying to think. I liked guys, you're putting me on the spot. Deeper by Summer Walker. I know it's like an old song, but that song always goes. And yeah, I don't even have anybody to shout out, to be honest. I guess you guys, because this
the yourself show for dropping a track,
of course, but you guys, because this show was lit this week. So. Yes,
I would say for like my song of the week, probably She by Harry Styles, which is super basic, but every time I go on TikTok, it pops up like the slow version from like SoundCloud pops up. So I guess I'm going to use that for my song of the week. And I think I'll shout out, like, my grandmother. I don't know if she's going to listen or not, but I'll send it to her anyways.
My song of the week is Princess Cuts by Hedy One. If you don't know, he's a UK artist, did a song with Drake last summer. And my shout out will probably be to my boy MJ. Go listen to his music. He got the song called 30. So, yeah.
Okay, and my track of the week is Tirano. It's by Kali Uchaz. If you've heard her song Tyrant, it's like the Spanish version and it's like top notch, can't be missed. And then my shout outs go to Holly, Thomas, and my parents. Thanks for listening. Also, guys, so you know, this week coming up on the Thursday, October 29th, we're showing Twitches, so be sure to join that. So that's all we got for our show, guys. So bye.